You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Dave Kellner, James Millman and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. We've got National Hunt Racing from Plumpton, two flat meetings as well, one from Windsor and one from Pontefract. And the card at Pontefract includes the listed Silver Tankard Stakes. So some good racing to look forward to this Monday. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you, Ollie?
Not bad, thank you, Mark. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Good racing to look back at, as we usually do. We usually reflect on Saturday's racing. Yeah. And Champions Day wasn't bad at all. It's had its critics over the years, but I thought it went very well on Saturday.
Yet again, yeah. I mean, it has got its critics, but I don't know why, because, you know, what is that, the fourth renewal of the Champions Day? I think it is, and everyone's been very memorable. The ground was suitable yesterday, wasn't too bad. And okay, Glen Eagles didn't win and their moan, you know, didn't get its ground, blah, blah, blah. But end of the day, Moo Hurrah was a shining example of a horse that goes on any ground and can hold its form throughout the season. And end of the day, these slow ground horses, not that Moo Hurrah falls into that category, but slow ground horses, you know, deserve their opportunity to win a big one later in the season, you know. Everything's sort of focused around Royal Ascot, where, you know, the fast ground horses are in their element. And I think Champions Day does cater for horses who, you know, prefer a bit of give underfoot, and there's nothing wrong in that.
Yeah, there's the old adage, isn't there, that a good horse will go on any ground, and with the likes of Mahara and Solo.
And Solo, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. You know, if a horse is totally ground dependent, then it does lose a bit of luster, I think.
Because we've seen that with Glen Eagles, haven't we? Oh, yeah, it just takes the gloss off of how good he is because he's so ground dependent.
Absolutely. And good horses go in anything, you know, See the Stars, Golden Horn even, you know, even though he's a better horse on better ground. So, yeah, it was a cracking day, really was. And as for the highlight, you know, you'd have to say it was Moo Hurrah, really, because he's just been, you know, he really has put distance between himself and the rest in the sprinting department, especially over the 6-furlong trip. You know, I don't think there's anything that that could touch him. I don't think I haven't actually read the quotes, but I presume that is it now.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to go to America, which is a bit of a shame, but I don't think you can really take in Champions Day and the Breeders' Cup and Frostbits. Then I think it has to be Ascot all the way. And I think, it, you know, looking further ahead, I think the Champions Day at Ascot is going to have a detrimental effect on, you know, the British Challenge in America, which isn't no bad thing, you know.
So, do you think that's it for Glen Eagles then? Do you think he won't? I mean, he was disappointed. Do you think he'll still
I think they're talking about the Classic, aren't they? Yeah. Which is an ambitious assault. It's a race that the Coolmore camp like. And Aidan O'Brien, I read it correctly, in that he's now come out and said that he probably needed the run yesterday. I mean, he would say that. It's sort of under the Coolmore protocol, isn't it? So, reading between the lines, I think provided Glen Eagles comes out of it okay, then I think there's every chance he's going to head to America. But I mean, end of the day, that was his first run since Royal Ascot.
He's going to need it, isn't he?
So really? He's relatively fresh. Well, he's very fresh. So I'd say there's every chance of him going to the States. And he's a horse that will be well suited by. He should get his ground.
Yep.
He's got plenty of toe, plenty of speed. He's not the biggest. You know, he's a handy horse. So there'd be plenty in his favour there, provided if they go for the Classic, then obviously it's whether he handles the surface. But if he does, then he could well salvage something from what was a bit of a letdown yesterday.
Yeah. So Mahara, the most impressive. Glen Eagles probably the most disappointing. We haven't really touched on Solo's performance because he's done it time and again. His season this year has been fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that he ran over 2 mile last season. And it just shows that even the best get it wrong, you know. And they sort of dropped on his right trip, and he's been one of the stars of the season without a doubt. And again, I don't know if Like I said, I haven't read the quotes, but I presume he will be... They'll call time now because he's had a fairly tough campaign. Whether he goes to America, I don't know. But, yeah, he's absolutely... And the great thing about Solo is what you see is what you get. It doesn't matter whether it's the ground, you know, fast, slow. He can be held up. He can make the run. And he's just so versatile. And he's so consistent. He's a real credit to Connections.
Yeah, I'm just reading the quotes here. Apparently, he goes to have a rest now back at his owner's stud, and apparently they're coming back to get ready for Dubai next year.
Well, he is a gelding, isn't he? So there's no, it's. I'd have thought they will race him until his form, you know, drops markedly. So we could be enjoying Solo for another couple of seasons.
Yeah.
As yet, I mean, he's a gelding, so they'll keep him going.
Yeah, we've seen that with Sarissa Zegler, haven't we, in the past?
Absolutely. There's nothing to gain by calling stumps when you can win potloads of money.
Mm.
So, yeah. Yeah, tremendous. Definitely one of the stars of the season.
Yeah. Just regards to the Champion Stakes as well, went the way of Fascinating Rock, found in second, and Jack Hobbs could only manage third. It was... I think they had the draw in mind for Jack Hobbs, and they used... I don't think it was necessarily the best execution of a plan, maybe.
Possibly. We had quite a lengthy discussion about this last night on air. It was a messy race all round... You know, for me, Found was the unlucky horse because, you know, a jockey has to ride a race the way they see it, and every race is different. But, you know, she was a good dozen lengths off the pace turning in. I mean, she's done remarkably well to finish so close, and she found a bit of trouble as well, got stopped in a run once or twice. There was a very narrow gap up the far rail that you could sense her sort of thinking about whether to go for it or not, because it was so narrow. I think she was the moral winner in many respects. I mean, I was, and this isn't after timing, but I just couldn't be on Jack Hobbs at even money. He's a mile and a half horse. To me, he's a galloper, not a quickener. His career best performance was at the Curra, where he was just relentless. And I just felt, you know, the short straight at Ascot over back at 10 furlongs, he would be vulnerable to top-class 10-furlong specialists. And that's how it proved. I don't think he's run that far below his best. I just think he's a mile and a half horse, you know.
Yeah.
Who will... You know, I'd be amazed if they run him again over 10 furlongs.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be it. Next year, it'll be a mile and a half, so all the way.
What did you make Fascinating Rock the winner, then?
Yeah, very good. Yeah. I mean, nothing to... You can't knock him, but it was a bit of a surprise, and I think if they ran the race again, I think you'd get a different winner.
Is that right? Yeah, you think Found would have won if...
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. I've got absolutely... There's no doubt whatsoever that Found was the best horse in that race over that trip, and not only on that form, but also on its on her second to Golden Horn at Leopardstown, where, again, she didn't get the best of luck, had to be switched for a run. You know, on that form... she was no 9-2, 5-1 chance yesterday. You know, to me, she had got as good a chance as Jack Hobbs on that Leopardstown form.
Right.
I mean, she was a horse I tipped up yesterday, and I just felt she was unlucky, you know.
Mm.
And if you watch the race, it'd be hard to argue.
What did you make of Racing History's run in the race? Obviously, Godolphin supplemented him. It was interesting, given that they already had Jack Hobbs in the race, and he was at work quite a way out, and he still managed to plug on into fourth. I thought he was going to fall out the back of the telly at one point.
Yeah, I think he's probably a horse. He's still a work in progress, isn't he? He hasn't had a great deal of racing. And yeah, to finish fourth at that level, you know, it was a big step up for him. Plenty of positives. Again, they'll keep him in training next season, and he's one of these horses that is going to get better with experience. And they might well have the Dubai World Cup in mind for him, you know.
Yeah. We should mention Simple Verse as well, the other Group 1 winner on the card. She, there was no...
You're winning Nap.
My winning Nap, yeah. It's rarity, isn't it?
Went unbacked as well, didn't it?
Yeah, and no dispute this time. She's won it nicely, and on the back of that Ledger performance, it just proved that she's right up there as a real high-quality filly.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, a classic winning filly, and it was her stamina that won her the day. You know, only got up in the nick of time. Journey... looked a 1-8 chance, didn't she? Looking, you know, a furlong out, and really unlucky to be nailed on the line. And another wonderful advertisement of John Gosden's training talents, because that filly could have easily gone the wrong way. I mean, for her to come so far in such a short space of time is, you know, it's been a remarkable story, really, a remarkable journey even. And yeah, was unlucky to get nailed by a stronger stayer.
Yeah.
And I think that really sums it up. But, yeah, the winner, lots to like, a really consistent filly. Again, Ralph Beckett's done a wonderful job with her. And, you know, first and second, I thought it was probably the race of the day in terms of, you know...
The finish.
The finish and the excitement it created.
Mm. Anything else to ask her then before I move on?
Well, I think we've done it all, haven't we? Flying Officer won the...
Yeah, Clever Cookie coming just too late in the day.
Yeah, didn't get the brakes, did it? But again, that was a seriously messy race. I mean, Forgotten Rules was knocked all over the shop. But the staying division is... It's crying out for something. You know, it needs a... And looking at this year's three-year-olds... You know, is anything really going to step up to the plate in the staying division next year? I think there'll be a lot of jumps trainers, shirts, you know, having a look at, through their stable and thinking,
yeah,
have we got anything half decent that could hold its own at the, you know, over 2.5 mile round Ascot? Because next year's Ascot Gold Cup is looking absolutely wide open. And the other race we haven't touched on would be the closing handicap.
Yeah.
Musadasu made every single yard for Godolphin. He is, you know, I know he's getting a lot of weight. He was only on 8'2" yesterday, but he looks a horse that is destined for better things. Yeah. To make all in a handicap that competitive takes some doing at Ascot.
You could say similar about the jockey as well, Edward Greatrix.
Yeah, he's, good moment he's done for him. Well, hasn't he? Yeah. Claims 5, and that was, you know, to win a race of that stature on the, you know, one of the biggest cards of the year will have done his career the world of good.
Mm. All right. I suppose just before we move on, let's mention the titles as well, the jockey's title, Sylvester D'Souza. Obviously, winner one a while ago now, and the apprentice title going the way of Tom Marquand.
Yeah, it just doesn't, you know. You could have asked me a month ago, and I wouldn't have had a clue who was leading. It's just got no interest whatsoever in champion jockey titles. I mean, fair play to him. Obviously, he's made a lot of money, he's ridden a lot of winners, and leaving Godolphin has obviously been a good career move for D'Souza, but I don't think people are that interested in jockey titles now. Fair play for the apprentice race, because it's a feather in your cap that can really, you know, trigger you on to, you know, open further doors for your career. And Jack Garrity and Tom Marquand are, you know, some really good young lads who've got their, you know, they're supported by the right sort of people, they're level-headed, and there's no reason why both can't go on to hold their own against the big boys. But right. As for the champion jockey, who cares?
I'm guessing you don't. Let's move on then. We'll leave that there, and we'll get stuck into something that we probably should care about. Monday's racing is fast approaching, and we'll get Alistair's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at two races at Windsor, two races at Pontefract. We'll go through them in time order. So we start in the 250 at Windsor, which is a class 4 nursery over a mile. Obviously, it's for the two-year-olds. Field of 8 here, Alistair. Which ones have made the shortlist?
Deodoro, the Mark Johnston horse filly, will get the nod. Basically too green to do herself justice when fourth on her debut, but was noticeably better and most definitely a lot wiser when making all at Beverley. Seeing her race out really well. I mean, I think a stricter interpretation of that form doesn't make her look strikingly well handicapped here for a nursery debut, in fairness, but she's a well-bred filly in really good hands, almost certainly destined for better things, and I just liked the way she went about it at Beverley. You know, she looked really uncomplicated, made most of the running, finished her race out well. Just smacked of a typical Johnston horse on the upgrade, so I think Deodoro will take a fair bit of beating there.
All right, Deodoro, the selection then is nice future, the probable danger.
I think so. Yeah, decent start to a career. Went third at Newbury. I mean, didn't blow them away at odds of 1-6 at Epsom next time. You know, only got up in the final strides, but I'm not sure that track really saw nice future in the best of lights, and I think back at a more conventional venue like Windsor, I think, you know, he's perfectly capable of stepping up on that one. But I like Deodoro.
Okay, Theodoro, the selection for Alistair in the 250 at Windsor. Moving to Pontefract next for the 310. And this one is a class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older. A field of 12 here, and it's going to be quite an open event, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks competitive. The one I like is Treasury Notes from the David O'Meara yard. It's having first run for O'Meara, and indeed its first run on turf when third at Beverley. And then off the very same handicap mark, went two places better at Hamilton only a week later. Those wins were over a mile, but you know, I can't see this longer trip presenting a problem for this horse. In fact, I think he'll probably improve for it. He's still lightly raced. He's in obviously very good hands, and I think he's the one to beat from a handy draw in stall 5.
Moving on to the big race at Pontefract next, which is their 3:40. It's the Silver Tankard Stakes, a listed race over a mile. It's for 2-year-olds. We've got two unbeaten 2-year-olds in the lineup here. Thanks for telling me, for Rafe Beckett, who's won both starts so far, and Chinois Series, who's also unbeaten for David Simcock after one run. Either of those two make the shortlist for this?
Yeah, the Simcock horse is quite interesting, related to Madame Chiang. I think she could do with a bit of rain. It's good to soft at the minute at Pontefract. Having looked at the forecast, there's a chance they may get showers. If it went testing, then the Simcock horse would be really tempting, because her pedigree is Stamina Laden, and you know, a good test round Ponty over a mile will suit her. But I really do like the Beckett horse here. Thanks for telling me. Unbeaten in two starts on soft ground, really impressed with his attitude when beating an experienced and talented rival with ease over an extended mile at Epsom, and from a really good family as well, from the same family as Filly's Mile winner Red Bloom. And the Beckett horses are absolutely flying. You know, he's one trainer who will be seriously regretting the fact that the season's coming to a close, because his horses are absolutely flying at the minute. And I think Thanks for Telling Me could well be another winner for the yard. The other horse to mention would be Beast Mode, the top horse, Chapel Higham Raider. I mean, he sets a standard on the strength of that fifth in the Royal Lodge. You know, Group 2 form back at listed level has to be respected. But I just think Thanks for Telling Me has just created a really pleasing impression in both his runs. And I take him to cope with the rising class.
Thanks for telling me the selection there. Then the final race we'll look at is the 3:50 at Windsor. This one is a class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 12 here, and I suppose most people would want to start with the likes of Wild Storm, who arrives here on the back of a course and distance success at the second time of asking.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. 182 days ago now. Won it well. Course and distance, it was back in the spring, as I said. I mean, the absence isn't going to be a great concern, never is with horses from the Godolphin stables, but on that bare form doesn't look well handicapped. And as we know, these Godolphin horses often go off shorter than they should on their handicap debuts. I'd be against Wild Storm. I mean, the one I like is Petrucci, another lightly raced youngster from a top yard, that of Sir Michael Stout. Didn't show a great deal at Newmarket in April, but then was given plenty of time to strengthen up. And there was a lot to like about its win at Chelmsford. Really strong in the finish off a very good pace. They actually broke the track record that day. And this horse is, you know, a typical Ballymacoll horse, very well bred from a really good family that, you know, just get better with experience. Stevie O'Donoghue was aboard that day. He rides again, and I'd be disappointed if that horse can't step up again. So, you know, I think Petrucci's the one to be with there.
Petrucci, the selection in the 3:50 at Windsor. Yeah, some nice 3-year-olds in that race.
Yeah, that's one of the most interesting races of the day, for definite.
Mm. All right, as usual, let's just have a quick summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Monday one more time.
Yeah, Deodoro gets the call in the 2:50 at Windsor. In the 3:10 at Pontefract, it is Treasury Notes. And then in the 3:40 at Pontefract, Thanks for Telling Me gets the vote in the feature race there, the Silver Tankard. And then finally at Windsor, the vote goes to the Sir Michael Stout-trained Petrucci.
Superb. Thank you very much, Alistair. Good luck, and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Dave Kellner, James Millman and Ollie Pimlott will be the team in the studio. We've got National Hunt Racing from Plumpton, accompanied by two flat meetings, one from Windsor and one from Pontefract. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.